Welcome to the Philia podcast. Philia means daughter. We are the daughters of the women who came before us, and we fight so that our daughters may be free. We are a women-led volunteer organization. Our vision is a world free from patriarchy, where all women and girls are liberated. We seek to contribute to the women's liberation movement by building sisterhood and solidarity among women, locally, nationally, and globally. By amplifying the voices of women, particularly those less often heard or purposefully silenced, and by defending women's human rights. Our podcast seeks to shed light on some of the most pressing issues facing women and girls around the world. Please take from them what you can. In sisterhood and in solidarity, the Philia team. Welcome, everybody, to the Philia podcast. My name is Raquel Rosario Sanchez, and I am the spokeswoman for Philia. Today, we are speaking with Semsem Mohammed, who is a refugee from East Africa, and she will be speaking to us about the conflict in the Tigray region in Ethiopia. There is a current what she describes as a genocide.
It's a genocide.
Yes, a genocide situation going on. And she's helping refugees, in particularly women who have suffered sexual abuse and rape, and their children to be able to get to a safer place. So first of all, Semsem, how are you?
Hello, thank you very much for inviting me for your broadcast, first of all. And would like to introduce myself. My name is Semsem, and I'm fine, thank you. I'm doing very well.
And you're currently in London. So right now I am speaking to you, like we've been in touch, you've been in touch with Philia for a long time. But you also spoke at the Philia conference. You had space to address our audience about the hidden humanitarian crisis that is happening in Ethiopia and with the Tigray region. You were able to speak about that during a session that was allotted to the feminist campaigner Julie Bindel. So would you mind talking to our audience about your intervention during that session?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I did spoke about it. I am so grateful for having that chance from Harriet and Julie, who introduced me to this session to come. Absolutely, it was incredible having all the support from everybody who was there. Speaking up as well was just a big relief as well, that making sure that the awareness has been spread. So what has happened in Tigray is, Tigray, first of all, is a region which is in the north of Ethiopia. It has like 6.5 to 7 million population. And generally, Ethiopia has 100 million population. So compared to it is the minority, the minority ethnic group is in Tigray. So in Tigray, since the 4th of November, there has been a genocide that been declared by the Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, which is the Ethiopian Prime Minister. But prior to the 4th of November, Tigrayan been targeting for ethnical, for their ethnic, and but it was not that very official. But since the 4th of November has been really like been announced officially that for attacking the Tigrayan and ethnical cleansing, and they did very horrible things, a lot of war crimes that has happened, you know, sexual violence has been committed against women and girls in Tigray. So when we come to that in details, why they concentrate on women and children is just because, as we say, it's a genocide. They want to make sure that wiping us off, like we would never be existed again, the women's and the children in Tigray, as well as the elderly people. Rapes has been done from age of 16 up to 65-year-old women has been raped. The way of raping a woman was horrific way because they over 10 people has been raping one or two women that has given their testimony. And again, some of the women as well, which has been back up with the CNN report. So one of the victims, women who has been raped, more than 10 or 15 gents, she was eventually, they put in her vagina some stuff, a really disturbing video there is in a CNN report, which they have done really great work of making an operation for the woman to take out what they have left in her womb to damage the womb itself. And that, to see that is just a heartbreaking to see that video, because it's really showing you so many things that they put inside her vagina so that she can't have children any longer. And this has happened several women that has happened to them. However, it's not every woman that has, you know, has the courage to come out and talk, because one of the things that I noticed in Ethiopia and Eritrea, because they have same culture, is when a woman get raped, it's just a shame and nobody wanted to accept it. Even her own family members, they wouldn't stand with her. They feel like it's just happened, it's a shame, and there's nothing they could do about it. They just deny existence of the person rather than assisting, or, you know, that person will be physically, mentally, you know, affected with what has happened. And of course, it's not their fault being raped, and they shouldn't be ashamed of themselves. The people who done it, they should be ashamed of what they have done. However, but because of the culture and all that, women get to suffer a lot. And I personally knows exactly how they feel. And that is why I understand them, and I wanted to work more in women who have been raped, and then, of course, children who has been, you know, brought to hunger, where there is a man-made famine being confirmed by the UN, and the starvation is still there. It's been a year now since the 4th of November 2020 until now, 4th of November 2021.
Yeah.
And the situation is getting just worse and worse and worse. And nothing has been done much yet. Still, the conflict is there.
I have a couple of questions for you, and I'll give you the length so you can speak to our audience. But can you go back a little bit? Well, there are two questions that I would like to ask you first. And
yeah, sure.
First, I would like to know your personal position in all of this. So are you from the Tigray region, or is your mother the one who's still currently there? Because I know that I'm speaking to you in London.
Yes, I am originally from Eritrea. My mother lived there as a refugee in Tigray. She has her brother, her half-brother who is Ethiopian, her brother by her sister. So she moved from Eritrea to Ethiopia to Tigray region. So she lived in Tigray region with her brother, with her younger brother. So obviously I'm not from Tigray. I'm from Eritrea. Mm-hmm. However, I'm even ashamed of being Eritrean, because the Eritrean government is the one that committed this genocide and rape with the Ethiopian government, because they have been invaded to come and do what they have done. It's not just one, it's not just the Ethiopian government has done it. It's the Ethiopian government plus the Eritrean government troops, as well as the Amhara militias and the Amhara alliance. So it's not one part has come to Tigray, even though we are they are very minority. But again, it is a combination of three or four troops has came to Tigray to committed this genocide.
Yeah, well, when we'll speak a little bit about that in a second, but I want to mention that you have a GoFundMe page, and we're going to link for this Philia podcast, so people will be able to donate to the fund. But you write in your GoFundMe page, "I am a refugee from East Africa, and sadly, because my mother has been caught up in the Tigray region in Ethiopia, I have been made aware of the terrible genocide in the Tigray region in Ethiopia. As a result, I am currently fundraising to help Tigrayan women who have been raped and children who are starving as a result of the famine in the Tigray region, as well as impacting on those who have been displaced to Sudan's refugee camps. So, first of all, would you mind explaining to our audience who may not have an understanding of what the conflict is about? There's a lot of reports in Al Jazeera, in The Guardian, Financial Times, all these things. But would you mind explaining briefly to our an audience member who is not aware of the conflict, what is it about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Not everybody knows about the Tigray because Tigray is a small region, as I said. So, of course, I will explain. And again, the conflict, as far as I know, is the Tigrayan has been ruling for over 27 years to Ethiopia. And then, of course, when now the Abiy Ahmed, the Nobel Prize winner, Abiy Ahmed, the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, when he took on power, he decided first to make sure that the Tigray regions will not be able to, you know, to participate in some of his politic things. And the Tigrayan government, they decided to take action in terms of he was not elected Abiy Ahmed, he was replaced because the previous Prime Minister, Meles Zenawi, who was ruling the country, he died, and then somebody else was replaced, and then that person has resigned. So then Abiy Ahmed was replacing. Then the Tigrayan government asked for election, and the election was due, and Abiy Ahmed decided not to go ahead with the election because of the situation of coronavirus. And Tigrayan challenged them, saying, we can put everything in measure to make sure that everybody do it safely. And when they decided to say no, Abiy Ahmed, then the Tigrayan government went ahead and did their election in their region only. And based on that, Abiy Ahmed said, this is illegal, and I need to bring every one of you who has done the election to justice, because you shouldn't have run the election, because I am the government here. And that is where it started all about.
So this was an electoral conflict that resulted from some political leaders, particularly the Ethiopian Prime Minister, who refused to step down and did not allow elections to go ahead as a result of the, according to him, as a result of the coronavirus. The Tigrayan, where they're considered to be rebels, but like the leaders in the Tigrayan region decided, well, we can put the elections together in a way that is safe. But there's a difference between an electoral conflict, and that happens all the time. Elections get problems all the time. There's a difference between an electoral conflict and genocide. And you're talking at the beginning of this podcast about the rape of women, and some of it in very brutal ways. I mean, every rape is just a horrible tragedy and a crime. But I wonder, like, where was that line between we're fighting about politics and elections, and now there's a genocide going on?
Yes. So basically, when this has happened, as I said earlier, he declared on the 4th of November, the war is, he accused Tigrayan government has attacked his military on the border. And he says, since that you start attacking my troops, then I have to declare a war and making sure to bring those people who are in power in Tigray. Those people are not even more than 10. If he wanted to make sure that to get them to justice, then he would have used different way of capturing these people rather than declaring the whole war to the whole region. You know what I mean?
Do you think that then the election issue was some sort of cover for an ethnic conflict that had been simmering within for a while?
Yes, it has been. It has been. Tigrayan been targeted with for the ethnic. They've been arrested. They've been arrested, and this is even going on up to now. But now it's more worse. Before they used to put even a budget was not getting to Tigray. He was cutting the budget. He was arresting people randomly who even don't have anything to do with politics. Not necessarily in Tigray, but in anywhere in Ethiopia they live, they used to be arrested with no question, and they stay and remain in the prison with no justice being made for them. And they are prisoners.
So what you're describing is there has been a human rights conflict that was receiving all of these electoral issues in which people were being denied justice, in which people were treated unfairly by the government. So when the government says, like, oh, don't worry, we will hold the election eventually after the coronavirus, the Tigrayan government said, we don't trust you because you have been mistreating our region for a very long time.
Yeah.
And in that context comes the November 4th declaration of war. A declaration of war that is very, that's as high as you can go when it comes to escalating tensions. So what, take us through that moment. What happened then?
Yeah, so we all took it as he just declared the war to capture those the TPLF, which is the Tigrayan government. But in turn to be that, He invited the Eritrean government, as well as the Somalian troops, as well as the Amhara militias and Amhara elite, all of them come to Tigray and then committed a genocide, because at that particular time, the Tigrayan government has left the city, you know, the government place, and they went to the desert where they hide somewhere. And because they can't capture them, what they did is, They went to every single house. Even my mom, when she described to me, I was shocked. They went to every single house and just start killing people randomly. And they just focus every house they visit. They say, do you have a man? Do you have a child? Do you have a woman? Young ladies? Those are the things they ask as soon as they enter people's house. And they did, like a group killing. They bring people together like these young boys, young men, and they say to them, we know that you are a feature of TPLF and we need to get rid of you. And they kill them. And some of them, even after they kill them, they put them like a barbecue, put in the fire underneath of the body. They put the body on the top. And it's all been backdated in all the CNN and human rights abuse and all that. And they went to some churches as well, like in Aksum. Aksum is the place where the King Solomon. So they went there, and in the church, they just randomly kill the people who were in that church, like 700 people were around because they had some ceremony, and they just killed them all within one day.
This is absolutely horrifying.
Absolutely. And it does affect, me. Like this year, I've been just like, I don't even know how it passed, because it's just like mentally, physically, it does affect me, because every single thing what is happening here has happened to me before in Eritrea. So rape happened to me. War, I've seen it when I was in Eritrea. Being in prison, yes, I've been in Eritrea. So I know exactly how they feel, these people. That is why I couldn't bear it at all to see in the 21st century, we still can see what has happened here. And I know my government, the Eritrean government, can do worse than this.
If he can
do it to his own nation, which is myself, then he can do it to any nation as well. So it has been, the UN has confirmed that this has happened, the Eritrean government and all the Ethiopian, everything. It's just not yet to be confirmed fully. It's the genocide in terms of, they still didn't get full access to do the independent investigation, even though they have those CNN and Amnesty International, but they still wanted to assign like a joint investigation where they will find boss party to see how it went.
You spoke earlier about how the people directly responsible for challenging the government, and obviously challenging a government is not an excuse for murder. You know, people should be allowed to dissent and to be political dissidents and to have opinions contrary to the government. And even if by holding the elections that was on a technicality, even if that was illegal, that is not a justification ever for violence. So, but you mentioned the fact that the people who were directly involved in that were about 10 people. And now you're talking about just one crime committed in a church in which 700 people were murdered. I mean,
it is the beginning. We all thought his aim is just to capture this few number of people. But when they come, it was completely different. And the Tigrayan people were not armed. You know, normal civilians has not been armed. So they don't know what is happening and they can't defend themselves. So they were all killed like the way that, you know, like a wild animal that been killed just randomly. And it has been done in so many different way that in a horrific way, whereby even those who does the killing will video and send it to the social media for us to see how they are killing them, which is more worse than ever.
Which is a way of terrifying the population and trying to intimidate
Absolutely. And when they realized the Tigrayan, they realized that, okay, this is a genocide because they're not after the government, they're after us. Then we are dying here either way. So why can't we just join the Tigrayan government? And then they start get in touch with the Tigrayan government and then start to be military. They give them a short time training. And then later on, the Tigrayan defeated the Ethiopian government from the capital city, Mekelle, and the rest of the small cities. And then they start going to the capital city to make sure that those blockage of humanitarian access to be lifted by advancing toward the capital city to bring the government down.
So the government essentially instigated, the Ethiopian government instigated a rebellion, which was the natural and the logical thing to happen, so that they can justify continuing to kill innocent people who are unarmed in Tigray.
Yes. And so obviously now, even as we are speaking today, I had two phone calls this in the morning and then one in the early morning and one in the late morning, like 11. There's lots of Tigrayan people right now as we are speaking in the capital city of Addis Ababa, every single minute getting arrested and getting killed, even in the capital city now, just because they are Tigrayan. It has happened for the last 2-3 weeks, more badly. And the number has increased so rapidly. So women's and children's are been crying, saying, my son gone, my daughter, they took her. Just because we are Tigrayan, we never even been in Tigray. We born and grow up in the capital city. We don't even speak the language. But it's just a heartbreaking just for someone to go and, you know, target those people. And of course, the government last week, he asked the Ethiopian people like to defend themselves by using whatever they want to use to go out there and whoever they suspect, wherever he's from the Tigray, they should just take action. And that was even taken from Facebook out from the Ethiopian government page because it was violating their policy. It went that bad.
Yeah. So you can you tell us a little bit about, so in this context, the government has used the alibi or the excuse of an election to instigate a conflict that has all the characteristics of an ethnic cleansing against the Tigrayan people. Can you tell us a little bit about the situation, particularly for women and girls?
Yes, definitely. Right now, as there is no any access of any phone or internet, I don't have any update right now what is happening in Tigray. But in the beginning, when the conflict has happened and there is access, we have heard so many incidents, and we were able to interview people, especially those who had the luck to go to Sudan, because there is lots of people who had luck to go to Sudan. So they still stay in the refugee camp. And some of those women has been also raped. And also there is children who has very critical condition, health condition. Some of them has lost their legs. Some of them, was winded. So those are what is happening. But generally speaking, in terms of, as I explained it earlier, the way of rape was really done the worst ever you can explain it. You know, it's just horrific way that you can never expect somebody, a human being, would do such a things, and targeting a woman, always using a woman as a rape as a weapon, is just unbelievable to see those kind of things happening right now. And especially with traditional, as I said, with our cultures, when women get to be raped and nobody get to understand them and just put the blame on them, it's just make them like hopeless, you know?
You're right on your GoFundMe, and we're going to put a link on the page, but the GoFundMe page is titled Help Tigrayan Rape Women and Starving Children. You're right there. My aim is to start by helping the Tigrayan refugee in Sudan. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. The children, yes, are in need of clothes, milk, diapers, medication, but also the elderly. Currently, there are already 40,000 refugees in Sudan, and 12,000 of them are children. There is no access to those still stuck in Tigray, but when this changes, I would like to reach out to them too. My place is to visit the refugee camps so that I can assess the essential needs and provide the aid. Please, can you help by donating to fund this project? What has been the response to your GoFundMe project?
Yes, absolutely. My aim is, first of all, prior to bring it to you guys, I had a plan of, I just had to say, like, I need to do something. I can't just sit down and do nothing. And I remember that moment, how I decided is, I had a phone call that my mom is in critical condition because she has no any medication left for her diabetic, for her blood pressure and all that. And she was really, really in a very critical condition. She can't even swallow water. They were dropping a water with a cotton. They put the cotton in the water and just dropping in her mouth. And I felt so bad. And I spoke to Harriet and Julie. I said, you know what? Because I can't reach my mom to Ethiopia, I can't send anything because there is no any access. I will have to do something. There must be a way that I have to help these refugee people who were luckily escaped from the Tigray region. And I have to travel to Sudan in person and try to see the essential need. And also I had a saving of my children from my work. Then I said, I'm going to use this amount to go travel as well as give the donation and get the to know that the essential need, and then bring it out here and see what other people can help as well, because I'm sure there's a lot of generous people out there that would love to help. So she now said to me, instead of you going by your own budget, which is just 3,000, why don't you share it with us? Even though us, we're going to help you, but again, why don't we spread it more wider? Because we have this conference that coming soon, and then we can take it from there. And I was so happy because, of course, like when you're having more people, you can reach more people as well. And as long as I'm going there in person, of course, it's better to reach to most of the people there. As you see, the number is quite big, those refugees. And so I said, yeah, no problem. And now my aim is going there, visit in person, giving the help, giving the support that I needed to give it, especially to those women that who needed the help from us, as well as to give those children the milk, diapers, you know, Pampers, all these things. And there is a lot of people there as well who can get their medication, you know, their medical bills to be paid, or they can't do some operation because they can't afford those operations. And of course, I have to see their needs and see the most essential things that with the fund I will be having, then I can support them to that way. But then I wanted to do it a long term as well. It's not just once. I want to do something a long term that I can help, especially those women, to mentor them, to show them like there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It is okay. You shouldn't be ashamed of this. And then we get them, when they go back to Tigray, we get them to start with something as well. I have also done
people who are sympathizers to the Tigray conflict and the genocide are being murdered indiscriminately. Yeah. You are saying that you are going to go into the region and risk your life.
Yes, I will go to the region, definitely. Because I'm not saying I'm going now when there is a conflict. I say when there is full access to Tigray, not now.
Yes, and your mother is there, but she's not, you can't reach her.
I can't reach her. I don't even know if she's alive or dead now. This is 2 months ago that I had the phone call.
Have you had any contact or information about her ever since?
No. They her family members, which is my family, they use the UN phone number to inform me that she's unwell. But then after that, I can't get any access because I can't call. There is no any phone that is working. There is no bank service. There is no, you know, any access. There's no road access for anybody to go there. So, but we're hoping because the UN and the whole, you know, EU has put in so much pressure this week to gain access fully into Tigray to get the, you know, to seize the fire, you know, to bring both of them to the table to see how they can sort it peacefully rather than militarily. And we're hoping if that happened, then, you know, if Tigray got to be fully accessed for humanitarian, then I will be going in person, definitely. And I will see those women in person as well.
I am so sorry that the situation is so dire that you don't even know what health state your mother is in. I just want to say that I am hoping, and obviously the whole Filia team, we are very much hoping that your mother is alive and that she's healthy and that you will be able to be reunited with her. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the UN, the United Nations, and the European Union's involvement at this point, now that the situation has reached a critical point. But I just read that last week, early November 2021, so a year after the genocide started or escalated, the United States Embassy announced that it was ordering the departure or some of their staff. And then this was after countries like Saudi Arabia, Norway, Sweden and Denmark were urging their citizens to leave Ethiopia. Do you feel that the international community has abandoned the Tigray people?
Well, yes, most of the, you know, even the British, the UK has asked all their citizens to leave. So all the foreigners, you know, including Sudan and South Sudan and the whole thing, they have asked their citizens to leave as soon as possible because the Tigrayan TPLF are 40 kilometers away from the capital city to capture the city. So the because that will bring the government down, and you can imagine how the conflict will be worse ever for those foreigners as well to be there. And then bear in mind right now, he's not just arresting the Tigrayan. He's arresting the UN staff. There is over 3,000 UN staff being detained right now.
Detained by the government. And early November...
By the Ethiopian government, because he accusing them that they are supporting the TPLF or they are spying for the TPLF.
And the early November as well, the government organized a protest that was also hostile to countries that have called to the end of the genocide. And some of the placards were saying, we don't need interference from abroad. And they were denouncing what you're essentially doing right now, which is speaking honestly about what is happening. They were saying that this constituted fake news. So in essence, you have a prime minister who is a tyrant, who is murdering people in the Tigrayan region, engaging in an ethnic cleansing. So what can the international, in your opinion, what can the international community do to help your people?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, they have to sanction Ethiopia and Eritrea and then get to the bottom of, first of all, humanitarian access has to be fully access to those who are in need. Even if roads are closed, they should look for a way of bringing food by dropping food, you know, airdrop food, you know, instead of only road. There must be a way that how to save these people 1 year with full, no access. And, you know, the UN has reported that it's worse ever, the famine is going there. But they have attempted once or twice to drop food by air. But I think at that particular time, Abiy Ahmed was bombing Tigray every single day. Like in a week, he bombed us like 6 times. So at that particular time, when he gave them the green light to say, go ahead and go and drop the food, he went behind them with his drone. And then when they wanted to go down, the Tigrayan force discovered that there is another drone that in the back of them. And then they had the communication with the UN Air Force, and then they had to ask them to turn back, and then Abiy drone has go forward, and of course they bomb one a clothes manufacturer place, and since that, because it's also not safe for the EU Air Force, so they had to they had to stop doing it, which again it's another way of doing a blockage, you know, not getting the access to the Tigray. That has slowed. That's why the Tigrayan force now put the hope in their hand rather than from the foreigners. Because the reason I'm saying that, because they just lost hope, because every time they have those dialogue and they have every way of trying the UN to come and help, he is putting something to block us. And the time is going longer and the people are dying every single second. So they had to push and push until they get to where they are now.
Yes, and the United Nations, as of early November 2021, the United Nations Security Council has not taken any actions in support of the Tigrayan people, even though they recognize that there are famine conditions in Tigray, and that the Ethiopian government is blocking the supply of aids and medicine to people who are affected. So there's a situation in which UN people have stated that the Ethiopian government is trying to not only start Tigray. This was in an interview with PBS NewsHour. UN officials were asked, is the Ethiopian government trying to starve Tigray? And the person who was asked was Mark Lowcock. He said, yes, there is not just an attempt to starve 6 million people, but an attempt to cover up what is going on.
Absolutely. Because he's not allowing the independent investigator or journalist like CNN had an interview this week with the spokeswoman of the prime minister. And she was asking her, why can't we get into the bottom of to get access there, grant us access there to go and do our job? Why can't you? And she was saying, there is some other medias that we allow them. You have to obey our so. They just make an excuse because CNN has exposed them so badly last time when they went to Tigray. They exposed them of having Eritrean government inside the Tigray conflict, whereby the Ethiopian government was denying for such a long time that there is no any other foreigners. Troops are in Tigray, they are only Ethiopian troops. But when CNN went there and discovered those Eritreans with all the evidence, then he had to admit it, he had no choice.
So that's the role of the media. The role of the media is to investigate all of these matters. You can't just like kick them out because they're finding out stuff that you don't want them to find out. You know, so in every conceivable way, the Ethiopian government is behaving in a manner that is like a despot and like a tyrant. And in a way as a dictator, because it's like they're not even allowing people to have elections so that they can decide on their own future. Instead, when people try to hold the elections, the response is murder and rape.
Yes.
And starvation.
While we are in this terrible moment in Tigray, he ran his election without running an election in Tigray. While Tigray are suffering and starving and going through all these things, he ran an election few months ago. He has not run in a couple of other places as well, but he was elected now as a government. So he does it on his own way. Rather than everybody choice.
Is it true? I've been reading some reports in some news outlets. Is it true that the Ethiopian army has been defeated, as in, I think it was last week or something, and that's why the open conflict has been escalated?
Yes. What happened is the Tigrayan has defeated them first in June, around June to July, from the capital city. And the Ethiopian government said, no, we were not defeated. We were just trying to let the farmers do their harvest so that they don't go to further hungers. And when he say that is only the capital city only he withdraw from. He didn't withdraw from the other region, you know, within Tigray. There is Western Tigray. He still have his soldiers there. So however, that wouldn't be a reason sufficient for him to say that, because even the farmers who grow those things is in the west of Tigray. So how come he still keep his soldiers there, but there is no much soldier within the capital city, Mekelle? And when they defeated them, the Tigrayan government, they didn't stop there. They carry on to the Amhara region and so on to Afar and to Dese and Kombolsha. What happened is when they capture Dese and Kombolsha are the more strategic place. That is why they lost hope, the Ethiopian government, because, and then the whole international UN and EU and everybody knew that this is the end, because that is the strategic place that is too close to Addis, as well as the route to take them between Djibouti and Ethiopia, where there is a line that deliver the goods and all sorts that will come to recover their cities. So if there is no access there, that road, if it's blocked, then there is no way even people will be able to survive in Addis.
So do you think that the conflict is coming to an end? If forces are closing down on the government?
I personally believe there would not be any way of sitting those two governments together to make a solution, because the Tigrayan government, their point is they're happy to cease fire, but in terms of their condition, their conditions is first is full humanitarian access to Tigray before the ceasefires. Two, they want all the Tigrayan prisoners that has been no justice to them over 3 years on prison, whether politician or civilian, should be released.
Sorry, you're saying these are the conditions from the Tigrayan government.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
And recognize them as well as a legitimate government in Tigray. And I think there's another thing, I can't remember what was it. But anyway, because of these are their condition, and the Ethiopian government refused to none of this condition. So there is no way they could make peace. However, the former prime minister of Nigeria has made a visit this week, not once, twice, to the Tigray government as well as to the Ethiopian government, and they try to do the dialogue. But however, I don't think it was successful, but it's still ongoing. But I believe before anything can be done with the Nigerian previous prime minister, the Tigrayan might possibly enter to Addis Ababa, as the CNN report like yesterday or before yesterday say, like they have gotten information that Tigrayan has been surrounded the capital city. They are just there. So hopefully they can come and take over in the capital cities. Then they can cease the fire and get everybody full access of humanitarian.
So the conditions from the government are unreasonable, according to you?
Yes, unreasonable, unfair, unreasonable. He's been fully lying. He's been, with the Eritrean government together. How could you bring someone else, another country government, to genocide your own people? That is absolutely unfair.
Yes.
And those people are innocent. We're talking about children and women. That is what their focus was. And that is absolutely terrible. And before he declined, he said there is no any refugee women has gone to Sudan. They are all men who are young. And there is no a rape or anything. But now he admitted everything. He said, yes, it happened. And I'm going to bring those people to justice. Where are those people? Those Eritreans who has committed this genocide, they have went back to their Eritrea, or they went somewhere else to the western of Tigray. So how is he going to get them to justice?
So there is no perspective of justice from
and
your point of view.
And how do I trust him that to make justice when he is the one committed it in the first place? Why can't he allow independent investigator to come and do the investigation, because we don't trust him anymore?
Of course. How are you going to trust a murderer?
Absolutely. So we are requested, the Tigrayan government, every single day, they requested independent investigator at any time with full security will be provided. That's what they said.
What would be...
Yeah.
What would be a solution to everything that you have just described over this podcast? What would be a solution from your point of view, not from the Ethiopian point of view or the Tigrayan government's point of view, but for you as Sensen, as a woman who is deeply involved in trying to help your people, what would be justice for you?
Well, in terms of politic way or in terms of humanitarian on the way that I'm trying to help?
Sorry, can you say it again?
I say, is it in terms of the political settlement or in terms of my
your personal view? Well, let's start with the political and then address the personal perspective.
Okay, yeah, I would... I personally, from what I have observed so far from the beginning till now, definitely Abiy Ahmed has to step down. Like, not necessarily the Tigrayan government to come and put him down, but he has to step for the sake of the people's safety, especially now the capital city has got so many people from different of the regions, and the capital city is huge. Having to the TPLF to come and bring in the government down, that would have a lot of bloodshed in the city. That is what I believe. So he should think of his own people's safety and stood down. And I know he's not agreeing with any of the condition, but again, for the sake of the people, he should just stood down and see what is going to happen. The UN and everybody has offered him to leave the country, but he decided not to.
And preferably for him to be brought to justice.
Yes, of course. He has to. He has to be brought to the ICC, him and Esaias Afwerki, who is the prime minister, the president of Eritrea.
When you say ICC, are you referring to the International Criminal Court?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And how do you see the conflict moving forward?
Well,
from the position of today, with today's November 12th, 2021, because I know that things are happening really well, they are happening fast now, but they have been very, very badly for a very long time. But now it seems like every week we're getting something different. So as of November 12th, 2021, what would you consider to be a way moving forward?
Yes, I actually think within the weekend, they will capture Addis Ababa. There is no doubt.
Yes.
And of course, they will bring the government down and we see what will happen afterward. There will be the worst ever, even worse than Tigray in Addis in terms of bloodshed, because it's a big capital where it's a big city where everybody that comes from all over the places, and having all the Tigrayan over 3,000 has been detained. And last 2 days on Wednesday, they killed 105 Tigrayan, shoot them dead. And that was being also going through the social media. It was really horrific. So then again, that will give like a lot of fight more, like everybody together. It will be the worst ever, even though it might be a solution for them to go there and get things to be sorted. But again, I have a doubt that this fire will cease easily or quickly, because it might take time. It's not a small city we're talking about. It's a big capital city that has got the most of the population lives there than everywhere else. So I don't know how it's going to happen. But again, we can't say 100% sure, but I think they will get there, because they have been going really fast since they captured Dese and Kombolcha. Like yesterday, they were being able to capture Milena to have full control. So it's like 20 kilometers. It's not that much to get to Addis. Yeah, the next couple of days.
Do you think that the capital will be captured and that will bring down the government? And even though, and you consider that it's possible that there will be a lot more bloodshed, but that is how the conflict could end.
Yes. Right now, recently, the Tigrayan has aligned with OLA, that is the Oromo rebels, who also believe that the capital city is for them. So they're not just the Tigrayan now, they're working together with the Oromo rebels. So then now every city or every place they go in, it's all Oromia place. So the Oromia are aware of their places. So I think it would be much easier for them to advance now compared to where they come from so far. So I think they will do. They will do.
Samson, I am so sorry about everything that is happening. I mean, we do feel your podcast here all the time. Listening to you speak about all of this tragedy, senseless violence, senseless murder, it really is impactful. Because, you know, when you think about the death of one person in your family, it is heartbreaking and it completely destabilizes you as a person. But in this conversation, we've been talking about, you know, the death of thousands of people, you know, 700 people just one day in a church, and the possibility of like hundreds of people dying over the weekend. And when you think about what that does to a family, you know, the death, the loss of one member to a family is destabilizing. But imagine that in a region where it is almost every family that is guaranteed to have lost a member or had one of their female members raped and abused. And it really, I am so sorry. And on behalf of the whole Philia team, we are absolutely devastated about this. And we do want to amplify your voice. And we're so grateful that you spoke at the Philia conference and you were able to share your experience with our attendees. Now, I want to go back to the second part of the question that I asked earlier. From your personal perspective, what would be a resolution for this?
In terms for the conflict, right?
Yeah.
Well,
I presume that it would start with you being able to see your mother, to know that your mother is healthy, to know that she's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm hoping is, as I said, I have planned to work on women and children, but women who are being raped especially. And I have also got, I was even successfully got acceptance from MediAid to supply medical equipment to Tigray region. So I am trying to also figure out to see, especially those villages where because all the medical equipment has been looted by the Eritrean government. So the hospitals are empty. And I spoke and I had a really good conversation with this CEO of the charity called, MediAid. And they told me, yes, we can give you, after the assessment, again, it's a friend of me who recommended me to them. So I was successfully being told that they can deliver the medical. So all I need to do is get a doctors who are there so that they can communicate with them to tell them exactly what they need is. And also when they provide the equipment, if there is any fault or any changes that needed, then they can also communicate on how to solve the issue, which I was very, very happy that I was able to achieve such a things. And again, as I said, even though I'm going to work on the women's and the children, then again, I will also, if it needed for transportation to those equipment, then I will still need funds as well to raise funds to be able to ship those medical equipment as well. So again, that will be only in villages. The reason I choose villages is because when access get granted, a lot of people would do some donation. And then, of course, the government as well might resolve those big hospitals in the cities. But those in the village might still suffer to take time to get budget to raise for the medical equipment. And then transportation will be hard for them to go to the city to get treated. So those are the things that I want to do that for long term as well. It's not just a short term. And but again, while we're waiting, I will want to go to Sudan, to the refugee camp, and help those people who are there. And then again, when they go back safely to Tigray, hopefully, when things get settled, then I wanted to also do some project with them that will keep them moving and having hope to do something and to change their life to the better situation.
This conflict has completely derailed your life, because I imagine that, you know, as a woman, you probably had your hopes and illusions to, like, maybe, I don't know, do whatever it is that you wanted to do with your life. But now the fact that there is an active conflict and you're seeing tens of thousands of people being murdered and violated, like, that means that now your energy goes to something that you did not expect it. You would be dedicating your life to. So this is a genocide. This is a genocide in we're talking about a conflict in this podcast in which human rights groups, international human rights groups, and foreign media are banned from Tigray because the government has prohibited them from recording and documenting what is happening. We're talking about a conflict in which at least tens of thousands of people have been murdered. They haven't died, they have been murdered. Women and children and elderly people, boys as well, who've been murdered as well. Just indiscriminated murder of innocent people in an ethnic cleansing. And you're talking about how you are determined to go in there to help. So I want to say that I mean, our admiration for you is just we're so grateful for that women like you exist, because it's one thing to hear about, like, oh, the government is murdering thousands of people, but then you speak with some of the people who are saying, yes, but I want to go in there, even though I know that that is a risk to my life. I want to go in there and I want to make things better. So we're so grateful that there are women like you out there who are courageous and strong and very brave, but also who are taking these extremely difficult challenges on to make things better in the world. And I'm usually very, very eloquent, but I feel like I have no words. Because this podcast has been very, it's a very intense topic. I'm so sorry that I'm so inarticulate right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all right. One of the things that makes me so much to do such a things is I went through, as I said earlier, every bit of this, even though it was not a genocide, the Eritrean regime. Of what has happened to me as political reason. Well, I was in Eritrea, I was in military, and then I refused to go to the military. Then I was forced, I was raped twice, I had 3 miscarriages. And I know how my family members has actually denied my existence, didn't accept what has happened to me, even though they know it's out of my control. It's just like, it's a culture and we can't stand seeing you here because, it doesn't make, you know, like all these things, it has been backflash my mind of what has happened to me. It's happening to those women who are there. That is what it tells me. And that is what the power put it in me, saying, I've got to do something. I can't just sit down and see them going through such a things. And some of them, even they take their life because they feel not needed anymore, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I know a lot of people who've been with me had those kind of things. and they took their life away. But I was so strong, I managed, I came to this country, and here I am who I wanted to be. I thank God for that. So I should be the person to help, regardless. You know, I know it's dangerous, but I'm not going to go now, as we can see the worst ever time now in Tigray. Even there's no access anyway.
Yeah.
Even my own mom, I can't reach because there is no way I can. But if things settle down a little bit, even though it's still going to be difficult in terms of bodies are on the floor still, because all the troops who have been killed everywhere, and even going to witness those things, that those atrocity by yourself, to see all everything, it's not easy. But I believe inside me I can make a change, and I have to make an action toward to get the change. So that is what it is all about.
How can our audience, Philia, the Philia audience, how can we help?
Basically, what I want is, first of all, I want everybody to go and search about Tigray and learn about what has happened there. It's all there. You can search on Google and you will see it on CNN Report, Amnesty International, and all other things that you can be able to see this, the French 24 channel or something like that. There is a lot of medias out there that is speaking. Even the Channel 4 has also been doing lots of work. So what I will suggest is, first go and learn and see the both side of what has been happening. Of course, you will learn how bad it is in Tigray. And then again, create the awareness by any way of any mean of way that to be a voice to those voiceless. And that is the main important things for me, that I want everybody to be aware of it. I want everybody to find, because that is where the base of it, that people would think, okay, this has happened. I really feel that I want to help. How do I help these people? You know, because when you see it, you will really feel it. I feel it a lot because I've been going through it. So I know how it makes them to feel. So again, if you do your research, that will bring you forward to think about, okay, this is terrible. I want to do something. How do I get to help? Then if you wanted to help, which is amazing, you can help with different way. But again, for me, I wanted to do this project to help those women and children, and as well as bring in some medical equipment and stuff like that, especially for those who didn't make it to escape from Tigray and they still need medical help, especially the children. I have GoFundMe link, and also in the GoFundMe, I have attached a few links for you to learn more about it. And that fund, I am going to use it, first of all, to visit the Sudan refugee camp. If access is granted in Tigray before I travel to Sudan, then definitely I will go first to Tigray. The reason for that is, at least those people who are in the refugee camp, if they don't have anything, they have one meal a day. But those people who are in Tigray, they've been starving with man-made famine a long time now. Is, you know, 1 year with shortage of food and, you know, and all that. I think the priority should be focused in Tigray itself. But it's still, if we didn't get access to Tigray and I'm ready with the fund, I will go to Sudan and help those who are in need in Sudan, as well as with the Remain fund, will go to Tigray. Then we will build a project, that a long-term project for those women and who are affected or who are being raped, as well as the children, and how to, for example, for medical, as we say, we bring in the medical things, and as well as medication and stuff like that, not just equipment, as well as those women, we help them how to integrate, how to get and start their life normal, and also physically, mentally, with what they're going through, we can arrange for them how we can get them people that can talk one-to-one to them and move them from this trauma.
Thank you, Samson, for speaking with us at Philia. It is an honor for us to have you with us at the conference, and it is an honor for us to be able to amplify your voice. We are so deeply sorry for what is happening right now. And everything that you have described is just awful and horrible. And all I just can't get over the fact, all the pain that is being unnecessarily inflicted on the family of tens of thousands of people, and the fact that the lives of tens of thousands of people have been taken from them over something that is unnecessary, that should not be happening. So I really hope that this gets resolved in a peaceful manner as soon as possible. And as Ilya, we will do what we can to raise awareness, which is something that you are very keen on. So Samson Mohammed, her GoFundMe page is titled Help Tigrayan Rape Women, Starving Children. And we will include the link to the GoFundMe on this podcast. Thank you very much, Samson, for speaking with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And thank you for everybody who listening to our broadcast. Thank you so much. And I look forward for your help. It means a lot to me. And together, we're going to make it.
Thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. We are incredibly grateful to all the women who donate their time and their effort to create this podcast. That includes our guests, our interviewers, and our editors. You can find us on your favorite listening platforms like Apple, Stitcher, and Spotify. Just search for Philia Podcast. Please help us reach even more women. You can do that by subscribing to our show, by sharing this podcast with your friends, with your family, and with your coworkers, and by leaving us a positive rating and review. Philia organizes the largest annual grassroots feminist conference in Europe. We would love to see you there. You can support our work by joining the Friends of Philia scheme, by giving a solidarity ticket so that even more women can join our conference, and by subscribing to our newsletter. Please take a look around our website, philia.org.uk, to find out more. Together, women make magic happen. And we can't wait to be in touch with you.